space where all the saints can grasp it and understand it. I know that in some places it seems like it just goes to the other extreme, but you know, I believe the Bible's to be understood and to be received and accepted and practiced. Okay? And so these pictures are supposed to help us. There's no perfect picture, but they're to kind of help you grasp. And so you see where we are about discovering who we are in the Lord, identifying with Christ. We got spirit, soul, and body up here in a couple different pictures. And I've got this little tube here that's got a valve, you know. And so you see this spirit, soul, and body, and this the soul part, which, you know, our mind has the ability to turn it off and turn it on. You see, God gave us a chooser. And, you know, when we agree with the Spirit of the Lord, the Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord, then, you know, it's like opening the valve to receive the flow of grace, flow of the Spirit, what's real inside of our spirit to come out to our soul. And it's very, very powerful when your soul agrees with the Spirit, because there's the power of agreement. Okay? Majority wins. And when your soul agrees with your spirit, then the body lines up. Okay, now we know it's all possible for our soul to agree with our body. Okay, I want to tell you, the body's just going to follow around. And so if your soul's agreeing with your five senses or your body or emotions or circumstances, then, you know, it's like cutting off the flow of the spirit, like you're saying no. You understand? And so I hope you do, and I hope by the time this series is over, you'll understand. But I love this. Lily and Kirk, thank you for doing this for us this week. This is a beautiful picture, because we're going to get into it today, that we look into the Word of God. It's the mirror. It's called the mirror. And we look into the Word of God to see Jesus. That's a key. I want to tell you, it's just like we've taught people to meditate on God in the Word, and not just the facts, but meditate on the Lord. See the Lord. And what happens is that the Spirit is involved, the Holy Spirit inside of us is involved in this operation. And when you look into the Word of God, the Holy Spirit comes along and shows you Jesus in the Word of God. And so whether you're New Testament, Old Testament, it doesn't matter. Revelation is a key. Okay, we're on Revelation midweek. Pastor Don's leading that study, but the key to Revelation is seeing Jesus. And it's a revelation of Jesus. Okay, and so even though you may not understand everything about it, seeing Jesus is the key. And so it's the same thing. You look in the Word of God and you see Jesus, and the Holy Spirit shows you Jesus. That's called revelation. It's when the logos, the word on the print, becomes the rhema. It becomes a word inside that's released. Now, isn't that exciting when that happens? It's hard to explain rhema, but it's so much fun. It's almost like I've tried to explain it like the Holy Spirit takes a highlighter and highlights it, and all of a sudden you see it anew. Or you see yourself in that. And this is part of what happens while we're calling this. Let's discover who we really are. Because Jesus comes in. When you receive Christ, He comes in. And your spirit is actually connected to the Spirit of Jesus and abides there. The old man dies, the old spirit dies away, the new man comes up, and it looks like Jesus inside of you. There is a oneness that takes place. It's so beautiful. But when you see, when you're looking into the mirror, and you see Jesus in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit shows you Jesus, and as you're seeing Jesus, the Holy Spirit will also show you who you are in this. And you know, people, you see, it's hard to explain, but it is a matter of the heart, that the Lord looks at the heart. And the why, or the motive, or the purpose, the why of what you're doing is very important to God. There's people all over the world that study this Bible. Okay? And they try to break it down and try to look at it. But I want to tell you, if you look at this Bible for you, just to see what you can get out of it, or see what kind of advantage you can get, and just for you, you know, you can miss that. You can miss. I'm trying to help you that if you will look at the Word of God, look in that mirror, and see Jesus, look for Jesus. If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek Jesus in the Word, the Holy Spirit will show you Jesus. If you knock, you'll find Jesus. And you see Jesus. See, that's enlightenment. That's when the Lord enlightens you. That's that revelation, that rhema comes. And he shows you who you are in him. Now that's powerful. Because that's when we're being transformed. And it goes from just in our spirit, it comes into our soul and affects our soul. Okay, and this is where our soul is being renewed. Our mind's being renewed. Hey, to open the valve, I'm going to agree with what I see as Jesus and the Word and who Jesus says I am. And the Holy Spirit helps us do this. Amen. And we choose to agree. And what happens? I'm telling you, it can affect your body. Yeah. Somebody say healing.
Healing.
That's what happens. Okay, it affects your mind, will, and emotions. We're to operate with a clear conscience. Well, how do you do that? I had a guy tell me one time, if we could figure out how to cut out the conscience, we'd be rich. I'm telling you, just the way through Christ is the way we have a clear conscience. So do you see that? I'm telling you, it's a beautiful picture. And we're going to get into that. We're going to try to cover that. I'm not going to cover all the scripture that's in your notes, but I wanted you to have them because they're great meditation time where you go back and look into the mirror yourself and watch the Holy Spirit show you Jesus, and you'll discover who you are in him. And you know, as time goes by, we're to get a clearer and clearer picture of Jesus. That's what maturity is. I come to the place where I can see Jesus a whole lot more in that mirror than what I did when I started out. We're maturing in him. And prayerfully, hopefully, this is what maturity is. I can see a whole lot more of Jesus who I am in Christ. And not just me, other people can see that. Because it affects them. We're going to look at that. Okay, I love you so much. So let me kick off. So our spirit is saved. That's what happens when you receive Christ. Your spirit is made complete. Jesus actually comes. Spirit of Jesus inside your spirit. You're complete. You're everything the Bible says. Okay, I've tried to share it like 100% Jesus right in there, inside of you. Not way up in heaven where you try to holler to get his attention or do some kind of spiritual religious works to get his attention. No, no, no. He right inside of you. Okay, and the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, and I put a couple other things in there. But, you know, really and truly, that's being saved. That's part of the process. And there is promise that one day our body will be saved. But in the in-between time, this is what your journey in the Lord is. And you say, well, what's the use? Why don't I just, you know, I get saved, I just chill out and be merry and wait till Jesus comes. Well, you're going to miss out on a whole lot that Jesus has for you. And not only that, you're going to have very limited influence to shine the light to other people. This is why you're here. You know, if that was not the case, then the best thing we could do after you receive Christ is to send you on to heaven. Okay, but there's a purpose for you being here. And he's got a whole lot for you. And you know what? It's reachable. It's attainable. He's available. And if that were not true, then he would be a teaser. And he's not. He's a promise keeper. I love you. Here we go. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's move down to verse 12. You can look at the other scriptures later. For now, we're looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality. It's almost like a mystery or a riddle. But then when perfection comes, we'll see in reality and face to face. You see that? Now, I know in part, anybody that you are listening to that teaches and preaches and says, I've got it all figured out. I know it all. You just kind of step away a little bit. Or change the channel or excuse yourself or something. Not that we can't gain from them, but I'm telling you what, it's a wrong view to think that anybody has got it all figured out. That's part of why we need each other. That's why we need this team of pastors. Okay, I've got a certain view of Jesus that I present, and we need that. But I want to tell you, we need James's view. We need Pastor Don's view. We need Pastor Tony's view. And, you know, that's part of the gifting of the body of Christ. We're gifted in different areas and have a biblical view, but a different picture or view of Jesus. And when we present that as a team, it's a more complete picture. You understand? That's why we need each other in the body of Christ. Okay? I told a pastor the other day, and you don't know this pastor, but I told him, I said, we got to stay. It's part of what I've been convicted about this year, that this is part of my purpose this year, is that we need to stay in contact and in communication, because in these coming days, we need each other. Okay? My beautiful wife kind of spoke that to me. The Lord used her to speak that to me before the first of the year. For now, we're looking at a mirror that only gives a dim, blurred reflection. But we're going to see in reality one day face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know and understand and fully understand fully and clearly. Now, so the more I meditate on God, the more I look, the more I see. Okay? But I want to tell you something. Even at this level, and I've been doing this for 43 years, I don't see everything clearly. That's not to discourage you, that's to encourage you. There's more to grow in. There's more to be revealed. Because his heart is to reveal himself to us. And I guess apparently we can only take a little bit at a time. But that's part of what transformation is and growing is. It's just like this. I'm going to give you a couple quick examples. This financial thing I'm believing God for. Out of debt, you know, I shared with the body. This year I'm going to be out of debt, okay, and I'm going to be caught up on salary, out of debt, I'm going to be financially free. And I shared some things about that. Right at the moment, in black and white, I'm not. Okay? That's where my practice is at the moment. But my position is, I'm agreeing with the Word of God. His heart is for me to be free. He paid the price for my liberty and freedom. And I'm aligning myself up with that. And so here I am, and I was... It was one day this week, I was fixing to minister to some leadership, and I was spending time before the Lord, and, you know, I'm putting my mind on Christ, because you want to be able to help people in the time, the window that you have. And so I'm seeking the Lord, I'm practicing, you know, being filled with Him, and my mind on the Word, and Lord, I want to be a help, Lord, I just surrender and submit to You, I want to be ears to You, and sensitive to Your prompting, and I pray this way, and I'm praying for them. And I go out to the mailbox, and I had to call my wife that morning and say, you know, I'm having to shut down the checkbook this week. Done all I can do. Till the Lord gives me more, I'm going to have to shut it down. You know, that's not fun to do. Okay? And so I'm also reestablishing my position that, Lord, I'm free. Lord, I'm believing for liberty and freedom. Lord, I stand in Your provision. And, you know, I renounce that junk, and I believe the best. And so I'm doing that, and I go out to the mailbox, and you know what I get? I come back in, and I got a bill. $95, I think it was, or $94 the bill was. And so when I open up that and see that, you know the enemy comes. Does he send fiery darts? Okay, that's where that comes from. The enemy sends some fiery darts and say, yeah, Mr. Walking in Provision. Mr. Walking in Prosperity. Yeah, look at you now. See, you don't even have money to pay your bill. And I'm telling you, the echoes, you know. And so what do? Well, I have to say, you know, is that life or death? That's death. That's father of lies. Okay? The one that comes to accuse the brethren. All right? Hey, the one that comes to condemn. Okay? So I have to say, no, I renounce that in the name of Jesus. I know this is in black and white, but this is a greater reality than what this is. Okay? And then I open up another piece of mail, and it's a gift to me for $135. $94 bill, $135 gift. I want to tell you, I just laughed. And you know what? It's okay to laugh. You know, that's laughable. Because that was sweet to me that the Lord, in His timing, would give me a fresh witness that my provision is greater than my need. Okay, now that's just a little simple thing. But I want to tell you, sometimes we have to laugh the laugh of faith. Okay? Now, this is kind of Tim talk, okay, concerning this scripture. And when I say Tim talk, it means I can't back up this thought completely with the word. It's a thought of Tim. But I want to tell you this. I happen to think, and this is Tim think, that there's going to be a wow moment with this scripture. You know, you hear people say, and I guess I've heard it all my life, you know, when I get to heaven, I've got some questions I won't answer. I'm going to ask the Lord these questions. No, you're not. I'm just telling you, you won't do that. Because when we see him, we'll be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and what we know in part, we'll know in whole. And I don't know how. This is God's business, not Tim's business. But when you step into heaven, you're going to know what he knows. Those questions are going to be, oh yeah. It was there all the time, right here in the Word. It was there all the time. Okay? But I'm talking about that wow moment. And I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm not talking about shame. I'm just talking about the wow moment. I'm trying to get you to catch this. That, oh.
Yes, that's right.
You mean healing was right there all the time? Restoration was right there all the time. The power source was within me all the time. And I didn't quite put the connection together, but it was right there, right close. I was this close. I'm just talking about a wow moment. We say, well, thank God. You know? And so I'm just telling you that. I'm going to give you another little example. And I haven't even shared this with my wife, but yesterday we went down for my parents, Mammy and Pappy, their 60-year anniversary. And my wife got to meet people from Halls Hill, from the Green Curtain that she's never met before. And after she saw them and visited with them for a few hours, you know what she told me last night? I am so proud of you. Lord ain't through with me yet. Oh, it doesn't? She said it had nothing to do with it. Well, I kind of connected it. But let me tell you this. My dad, and people were just opening their hearts and loving on him, and that's a sweet thing. You know, he couldn't hear most of it. My wife told me when we got in the car, you know, she said, that's kind of sad to me that they were opening up their hearts and pouring out his hearts, and he couldn't hear them. Did I say it or you said it? I don't know which one of us said it, but one of us said, you know, he needs a new hearing aid. I don't even remember which one of us said that. But then as I'm driving back toward the concrete city from behind the Green Curtain, I get a little whisper inside of me. Doesn't really need a, he could get a hearing aid, but what, or he could get a healing. I had a wow moment. I said, Lord, I was there for hours. I witnessed this, and it didn't even hit me to pray for him. Walk over there and pray for him. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't count that as sin. Because I didn't get that prompting. Because if I'd have got that prompting, she knows me, seen me in those situations, these pastors have to, I'd do that. Even if it didn't work. Okay? I'm willing. Okay? And I think we need to be to take the risk of faith. But I'm here to tell you that it spoke to me. And I'm saying to you, soon and very soon, your husband's going to be walking in a place where that, you know what? Those kind of things will be handled differently. Because I'm believing for more. And what I'm saying to you is that sometimes Tim prays for people and they have to go to the hospital. I've prayed for people that's died. Okay? But I want to tell you, when Jesus ministered to people, for what we see in the Word, and I believe that they all, A-double-L, all got healed, all got well. I'm just saying, let's see the ministry of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, let's learn to cooperate.
Amen.
Let's learn not to quench the Spirit, but to release the Spirit. And I'm not I don't count that as sin because, you know, I didn't get that prompting. But I'm here to tell you that I think that those kind of little visions come sometime to show us that there's more. Do you want to walk in more? The Lord wants you to walk in more. Because this is kingdom. This is kingdom. Okay? And, you know, I just want to remind us that there is the sin of commission. And there's the sin of omission. You already know what that is. We've covered that before. So it's important to do what the Lord says. It's important to not do what he says not to do. Okay, let's be wise. But it's also, you know, important for us to do what he prompts us to do. And so I'm just throwing that out. That's not in the notes, is it? Okay. That wow moment we got to look forward to. Let me explain this to you. And this has to do with these pictures. When a believer who is emotionally discouraged and mentally defeated, and we get there. You're looking at someone that's tasted that. When we get there and we start doing this, we take the Word of God and we start looking in this mirror and we see the Word and we see Jesus in the Word, okay? And the Holy Spirit shows us that this is a greater reality than whatever we're discouraged or whatever we're defeated about in our mind. And we start agreeing with the Word, then we start receiving. It comes through the pipe here. Out of our spirit, we start receiving it into our soul. It affects our body. You understand that that's how we start receiving victory, peace, and joy. Is it possible for us to go from being emotionally defeated or discouraged to joy and peace? Yes, because of Jesus. And we line up and agree with this, and we receive the flow of the Spirit into our soul. Okay? That's the soul receiving the salvation that's been birthed in our spirit. It's receiving it. It's the practice of receiving it. And we get to practice doing that because the soul wasn't completely changed when we got saved. It was impacted, but it's not completely changed. But this is, and the body wasn't either. Okay? If you were overweight, when you accepted Christ, you were probably overweight after you accepted Christ. You understand? Okay. But there was full payment made for the soul, spirit, soul, and body. The payment's been made. It's not something we earn. It's already been paid for. And our joy in this journey is to learn how to receive it. It will be redeemed one day. And when I was a little guy, lived in Houston, Texas. And in Houston, it was Houston Astros. And man, they were my baseball team when I was a little fella. And the Coca-Cola company had a program there for a while, one season, where that if you collected their Coca-Cola caps, there had a picture of the baseball player in the cap. You understand? Okay. And they had this kind of mat that they would hand out at the stores. And you collect the bottle caps and you get the different players and you glue it all on there. And then you come back and you redeem those caps, Coca-Cola caps with the players. If you completely filled it up, the more you filled it up, the more you got. Okay, now I want to tell you, the real goal was not the caps. You understand? But we were to redeem for greater. Amen. All right. And man, I'll never forget. I got a little baseball glove, Astros, little cap, little bat, little posters, you know. You know, because I had the whole thing filled out. All right. Now, I want to tell you something. Your spirit, soul, and body have been paid for. One day it'll be completely redeemed because it's been paid for. But I want to tell you, until that time happens, we're to cash in on everything that we see, on everything we believe. Because he wants that for you in this journey. And so let's not settle for less. And some of the people said, the old timers that I used to read about would use terminology like this, deem it so. Chew on that. Say, man, I like the way that sounds. I'm not real sure what all it means. This is what they were talking about. They'd also say, reckon it so. Reckon it so, deem it so. We do that by faith. We don't wait to the feeling of it. We don't wait to the physical manifestation of it. It's by grace through faith. And I'm going to do a sermon on that. Okay, beautiful blonde pointed out to me this fall that, you know, everybody may not understand. You say that all the time. Everybody, we're going to deal with that. Because in this, you need to know what that means. And we're going to deal with that. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. Therefore, any person that is engrafted in Christ, somebody say, accepts Christ. He's a new creation. Hey, engrafted in, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. That happens in our spirit. The old part of us there has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Now, I want to tell you something. This verse is past tense. When you accept Christ, it's done. I'm just trying to share with you. This is a done deal. This is not something we earn or something we grow up into. This is done when you receive Christ. And if you don't understand that, then you get frustrated because, you know, that with our soul and our flesh out here, we can easily see, well, I'm just not good enough for this, and this just hadn't happened. But listen, our soul is transformed to the degree we renew our mind. Because when you renew your mind, you also change your attitudes toward God and people and life and sin and yourself. And also you confirm what the Word says. And the Lord changes you. We don't change ourselves. The Lord changes us. Verse 18, but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself. And he gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. Let's use James and Gina. They sit up front so I can use them. And you didn't know that was the purpose? Okay, why don't y'all stand up real quick and let me use you on this. I'll tell you what, I'm going to be God because, you know, it's my illustration. Okay, I get to choose this, okay? I'm going to be God and you be the believer. Okay, now, we're one. And he looks in the Word of God. And he's receiving this life into himself. He's receiving the life of Jesus into his soul and even affecting his body. And you know what? The real purpose is that the life of Jesus with his words, with what he speaks, can affect her. With his works, can affect her. And so in agreement with what he's receiving from the Lord, okay, he reaches out and touch her. Any way you want to, that's your wife. Reach out and touch her. Okay, and he's cooperating with me. And he draws her into the Lord. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's why that it's not just for what's happening in his heart, but so that it comes through his soul. So that with his words and with his deeds, he draws others to the Lord. That is the ministry of reconciliation. This is why that we progress and grow in this. Yes, it blesses us and benefits us, but it's not just for us. It's for the kingdom's sake. This is the way the kingdom is multiplied. Okay, y'all have a seat. But I wanted to show you that in physical form in a picture because I want to tell you something. When you grasp that, then I want to tell you, you wouldn't have the thought that, well, you know, these pastors need to get busy around here and fill this place up. Because I want to tell you something. When you practice what we just showed, the ministry of reconciliation, receiving the life, letting the life flow through you, and touching others to draw people to him, I want to tell you something. Sheep will produce sheep. Okay? I'm not saying we get to be player coaches in this. I'm not casting away any responsibility these pastors have. But I want to tell you something. You will bring sheep. Because you have the ministry of reconciliation, because the Lord's doing this through your life. And he loves to. And that is exciting, friends and neighbors. That's fun. Renewing our mind causes us to receive what he paid for, to be a living witness. And so we're with our words of faith, hope, and love, because we're receiving faith, hope, and love out of our spirit into our soul, affecting our body, and we're speaking those words. Not only do our words of faith, hope, and love, but our deeds of faith, hope, and love reflect Him. And they draw others to Him, to His goodness, because they see the goodness of God in and through you. Wow. Oh, that's good. That's really good. So the Word is a spiritual mirror. We've learned to trust the reflection in physical way. We need to do this spiritually, where we trust the reflection, even if our soul's not there yet. Okay? For 2 Corinthians 3:18. And all of us, as with an unveiled face, because we continue to behold, that's a very important point, continue to behold. Don't just glance at it. Continue in. To behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. See Jesus. See the glory of the Lord. See Jesus. We're constantly being transfigured into His very own image. This is why we say we become more and more like Him as time goes by, because this is what God does. In ever-increasing splendor, from one degree of glory to another, I would hope and pray that all of us could say, and people that know us could say, you look more like Jesus this year than you did last year. Amen. All of us know we got a long ways to go. God's not through with any of us. But I want to tell you, this is the process. Holy Spirit helps us see Jesus in the Word. He helps us see ourselves in Him. He changes us. We don't do it. We just receive it. He does it. And all the people said. Ephesians 4:24. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self created in God's image, Godlike in true righteousness and holiness. Now this new man is the spiritual part of you, and created righteous in our spirit. You literally become the righteousness of God in Christ. This is why we do the confessions of a new creation. Okay? This is what this is. All right? These are scriptures right out of the Word of God that we personalize for you to confess and meditate on and practice receiving that this is true right here in our spirit. For our sake, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake He made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, that in and through Him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, examples of the righteousness of God. What we ought to be, okay? By His goodness, what we ought to be in right relationship with Him. Let me say it to you like this, justified. He causes us to be justified. This is what He did. Justified, you've heard me say it over the years, is just as if I'd never done it. Okay? Just as if I'd never sinned. It's not about you, it's about Jesus. And this is why He talks about a true holiness. It's a true holiness. It's His holiness, not ours. There is a false holiness I don't really have time to get into. But we need, in the physical realm, we need to show some of the righteousness and the holiness of the Lord. It needs to get out into our life. Okay? If it doesn't get out into our life, nobody knows. We don't have time in these end times to have secret saints. Okay? There's no room for that. Okay? And because, let me tell you this, the Spirit of Christ wants to relate to others, wants to touch others, okay? And so, it's our joy to be a part of what God's doing, but it's got to start in here. You've got to receive it before you can release it. You can't release what you don't have. Okay, it's important. And you know what? It's loving others. God doesn't deal with us based on our own righteousness, because your best of your best is filthy rags. Okay? It's not on our righteousness. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay? He loves me full time in my spirit. I'm telling you, there's an overflow of love. We need to practice receiving that and releasing that. Do you see it? I hope you do. Okay. 1 John 4:17. This love's very, very important, because that we walk in it, that we practice receiving what's in us, the love of God. Because 1 John 4:17, in this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion. I want to tell you, love makes a difference. I'll tell you, this is why my testimony goes like this. I was so overwhelmed by the love of God, I believed the Bible. I was so overwhelmed by the love of God, I believed he wanted his best for me. But I want to tell you, it didn't just stay here. I was loving on other people. And that's what love does. That's what love wants to do. But I want to tell you, when you're, and this is why we did Enjoying His Presence, it's a real series about how to let the Lord love on you and how to love him back. All right? Because this love is brought to completion. This love will help mature you. And attains perfection. Someone say maturity. This love will mature you, will help you receive, to open the valve. Okay? And that we might have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. It doesn't say going to be. It doesn't say when we get to heaven. This is talking about where. Is it talking about our body? No, not yet. Talking about our soul? Well, we're not finished there. But it's talking about in our spirit. I'm telling you, as he is, so are we in this world. That's not in the physical mirror. That's in the spiritual mirror. Okay? The soul is in a process. Our body's not there. That's why that one of the things I tell people pretty often and have for years is that, you know what? Your humanness does not offend me. Because I know where that's at. Okay, all of us have a body, soul, and spirit. If you've accepted Christ, you have a new spirit. You have Christ in you. But the soul and the body is still there, and your humanness does not offend me. Let me take a little break here and say this. Flesh is messy. Okay, let me just go ahead and say it like this. Flesh can smell like a dirty diaper. Okay, stinks. Okay, and I want to tell you something. Even if you have choice prime USDA flesh, it still stinks. It's still messy. Now, the world celebrates that, but I won't tell you it stinks. Okay? I don't care how much sweet smelling sauce you put on it. It stinks. And we get so shocked sometime when people stumble. Let me just, because I'm on a timeout here, let me say it to you like this. You know what? Your flesh stinks too. Okay? Last time I was on a plane, I think I was flying in from D.C., I think, right? So I'm on the plane, and I kind of have this moment, because beautiful blonde got me a good seat, you know. And I'm sitting in that good seat, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm seeing cities underneath, and I'm thinking, man, I'm 500 miles per hour, 32,000 feet. I'm above a lot of mess right there. There's a lot of mess that I'm flying over. You know, these cities I'm looking at. And I get this thought, and it kind of comes like this. That's just because of your position in the plane, you know. Step outside the plane. Step outside the position of the plane, 500 miles per hour, 32,000 feet. You know what, big boy? You're going to fall just like everybody else. Probably faster. Okay? I want to let that sink in a little bit to you. Because I want to tell you something. You step outside the position in the plane, how well are you going to do? It's only by your position in the Spirit and cooperation with the Spirit, the application. It's called, the Bible calls it walking in the Spirit, that we soar. It's only by your soul agreeing with your spirit, the Jesus in you, that you soar. You quit walking in the Spirit. In agreement with the Spirit, you start operating in your flesh, where the soul and the body is agreeing. Your flesh is ruling. Then I want to announce something to you. You're as capable of anything as any other human. A lot of places wouldn't want me to say that. But let me say this. Flesh is flesh. Okay? Now listen. But your spirit's still righteous and holy. Okay? But if you don't lean on the spirit and operate in the flesh, I want to tell you something. You go right back to what you were operating in before Christ. You can go right back to that same old pattern. Okay? Except now you'll feel even worse. Because of conviction. And, you know, of course, the enemy, he loved to condemn, you know. And we do a good job condemning ourselves. I'll be real honest with you. I think sometimes the enemy just saying, yeah, that's right. Sick them. Because we tend to do that ourselves pretty good. And let me just announce to you. The enemy sends those darts, and he blames you for it. Okay? Any believer that is renewing their mind and is being sober about it, alert about it, probably has to renounce thoughts probably 100 times a day. That thunderous silence is just, you know, amazing sometimes. But it's really true. I'm telling you, the most spiritual people that you know, if they're on the ball and they're guarding their heart, okay, and walking in the Spirit, it goes to me, and this is the way I try to present it to people. It comes to me, is this life or is this death? Life or death? Is this poison or is this life? Is this Jesus or is this poison? Okay, so it's a life or death choice. It helps make it easy for me. Oh, now that doesn't line up. That doesn't line up. That's not what Jesus said. That's poison. You see, I renounce that. See, the planes are continually flying around the airport. They want permission to come land. But I want to tell you, they can circle and circle and circle and radio in. You know, you just tell them, no way, no way, Jesus' name, go away. Okay? They're not going to land unless you give them permission. And they're liars. They want to say, well, we just want to come visit. They're liars. As soon as they unload from the plane, they're going to start setting up a camp. And then the next thing you know, it's a fortress. Somebody say stronghold. That's the way he operates. But the enemy will come around and say, that's got your name on it. Look what you thought. Well, those thoughts are not from you. And so it's important. I'm telling you, that's a real battle, and we all fight that. But I want to tell you, that's why. And I want to tell you, I think, I'm just going to say this. I think this is why that the Lord's used me to help restore or help a number of spiritual leadership out there that has stumbled. Because one of the things that, well, for one thing, you got to be confidential. And number two, they got to trust that you love them. Okay. But number three, I think this is very, very important, is that I help them come to understand this. Hey, good buddy. That was your flesh. Your humanness does not offend me. You know what? There's been a price paid for this to be overcome. Your spirit didn't sin. Your spirit doesn't sin. That had to do with your soul and your body. Okay? And so, I'm just here to tell you this, that there's the Spirit of the Lord is still there, alive. You're still full of Jesus. You're still created in righteousness and holiness. And as Jesus is, so are you, in your spirit, identical to Jesus. I want to tell you, pastors need to hear this. Humans need to hear this. All believers need to hear this. Your spirit doesn't sin. And so this is why I tell them this can be overcome. Now, I'm not saying there's not some responsibility we need to take care of, okay, on the outside. But I help bring them hope that, you know what, in your spirit did not sin. Jesus is still there 100%. Okay? And his purpose and his promise is still for you. Okay? Well, that seems to have been a help to a number of people. I hope it's a help to you. 1 Corinthians 6:17, but the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Now, I want to tell you, it's hard for me to describe that word one. That one spirit with him. That's very, very powerful. It's very amazing. I have a hard time putting it into language because the way it comes out is singular. Let's see. Let me make sure I get this. Singular to the exclusion of another. And I don't know quite how to, but I'm trying to say this. You're not a copy of a copy. You are part of the original.
Amen.
That's probably pretty good. Would you write that down for me? Okay, I think that may be the best way to explain that. Okay, and let me rush to say, when you become born again, it's not a baby spirit. It's full-blown Jesus. All right? Now, our soul has to grow up. Okay. And mature and grow up. And Bible talks about that. But I want to tell you, in your spirit, the mind of Christ is there. We have the mind of Christ. Okay? I think it's Little John, 1 John 2:20, I think, talks about that. We know. We know all things. We know. Really? Well, I'll tell you what. That's where wisdom comes. Wisdom comes from the Lord. And the Lord's in you. And he promises and says, we shouldn't be shocked by it, that if any of you lack wisdom concerning anything, let him ask. Because I want to tell you, the mind of Christ is right here. Okay? And I want to tell you, what we need to know is in there. We know all things. Does that blow your mind? Well, it's okay. It blows mine too. But, you know, it's true. Because that's what the Word says. Now, it's not that way in my soul mind. Okay, I'll tell you what happened last week in one of my meetings with somebody is that I had on a pair of glasses, and I was looking for my other pair of glasses, and I took them and tried to put them on too. And matter of fact, I said, look at me. I got two pair of glasses sitting here trying to use them both. Now, somebody whose soul mind is completely recovered and renewed, you know it. They don't try to wear two pair of glasses at the same time. Okay. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit's in your spirit. I want to say it to you like this, and I can say this to everybody in here that's been born again. One third of you is just like Jesus. That ought to do something for you. And so we're renewing our mind with the Word of God. More and more my soul's agreeing with my spirit to the place that it affects me even in the physical. Is that possible? Yes, it is. Okay? That's why I try to be real open and honest with you that even though in the black and white in the numbers, and I've been talking, I could do this with my health, you know, or with the finances, that in the black and white numbers, it's not really good. But it's like I had a pastor ask me yesterday, hey, tell me how it's going. I said, man, I'm blessed. I'm enjoying Jesus. I'm enjoying the people. I'm having more fun than I probably ever had. I love to love on the Lord and love people with Jesus and with his word. I love it. Now, you know, I could have said, well, my health's not perfect. My checkbook is crying. Now, that would have been true with some black and white numbers. That's not what this says. I could not help it. It slipped out. I didn't mean any harm. I meant hope. But a pastor I was fellowshipping with not too long ago, I said, well, how you doing, man? He said, well, I guess I'm all right under the circumstances. I said, well, why are you under there? When I said it, I kind of, man, that just jumped out. Then he said, what do you mean by that? I said, oh, man, I love you. I got compassion for you, but let me just remind you what the Word says about both of us. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You're complete in Jesus. You have peace. You have joy. You have His love. There's a power source within you which is able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And man, I want to tell you, man, in just a few minutes, he went from being under the table, okay, to praising the Lord. But see, that's why we need each other. Okay? That's what's called exhorting one another, loving one another. Okay, but I want to tell you something. Even though by the numbers black and white, I'm not in good shape in some way. I want to tell you something. I should be a man that's agreeing with this as a greater reality over what the black and white says. Okay? And I should be speaking words of faith. I should be saying what Jesus says. Amen. And so it goes like this. I'm debt free in the name of Jesus. It goes something like this, where you're sitting right now, this house is filled. Do you understand? That's part of what faith gets in on, is getting to say what Jesus says before it happens. Speaking those things. Even though, see, I'm telling you, we declare what God says, even though in the physical it don't look like it. That's Jesus. That's where this is operating, and there's power in words, and that makes a difference. It hit me the other day that mountains have ears. We're to speak to the mountains. They got ears. We speak to them in the name of Jesus. And Bible says we speak to them at word of faith, and we declare them to leave, they go. That's saying what God, that's agreeing with what God says. Okay? And so there ought to be a difference, is what I'm telling you. There ought to be a difference between a person that's operating in the life of Jesus, in the fullness of God, what he says, versus what a dead man says. That might be a little extreme. No, it's I think it's right on. It ought to be a different attitude between someone who's walking in the resurrection life of Jesus, a different attitude than a dead man. There's a difference between life and death. Okay? Different actions. Dominated by the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God, or are we going to be dominated by our flesh? Okay. See, this is very, very important. This understanding, because his love's a key in this. And let me say this. I had someone tell me not too long ago, "Well, brother, I think I don't think that's real." Or they said, "I don't think that's realistic because we're only human." No, we're not only human. If you didn't have Jesus in you, you'd be only human. But I want to tell you, since Jesus is in you, do you believe what the Bible says? Since Jesus is in you, you're not only human. One third of you is wall-to-wall Jesus. And we don't have to operate like the world. We don't have to be limited to what we see or feel. We can see who we are in Christ, and you know what? He changes us. 1 John 4:17 again. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion. Okay? Attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence in that day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I want to tell you, resurrection power is in us. Okay? He that is joined to the Lord is that one spirit, a part of the original, not just a copy of a copy. And so it's our joy to let Jesus be Jesus in us, and that's what he wants. Ephesians 1:13, I got to hurry. Oh, this is not going to finish. My wife said no, it's not going to finish. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings, gospel of your salvation, have believed and adhered to and relied on him, were stamped with the seal of the long-promised Spirit, Holy Spirit. Kirk, will you go out to the freezer out in the garage and get that little meal that I got out there? Yeah, walk right through here the quick way. Look in the freezer there. I got a little meal out there. So, I'll let this kind of finish this up today. And, we got a lot more to go. Where are you going, Bubba? Go through this door right here. Those of you that are listening by CD or over the computer, boy, you really miss out on not being here. The Bible says that you're sealed with the Spirit. Now, I want to tell you, there's something beautiful about that. There's two ways to describe that. One's like a stamp of approval. And I love that stamp of approval picture because, you know what? He has paid the price for you once and for all, according to Scripture. We'll get into that next week. Thank you, Bubba. And, you know, that stamp of approval goes something like this, that he's already put his yes and you're completely and totally 100% accepted in Him. He has put that, He has stamped you with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And so that's beautiful. Okay, I love that. We could describe it like this too, that He's got a stamp of you on His hand, because Bible talks about that. He's got a tattoo of you on His hand. Okay, now that's good. You like that? You see that? Another way of describing the seal with the Spirit is vacuum packed. Now look at this, and I'm going to have James witness this, but you see that's sealed right there? And how tight that is, vacuum packed right there. Now, if I had time, and I don't have time today, but what I was going to do was bring mud in here and pour on top of this. And because you know what? In this journey on this earth, what can you get muddy?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Can you fall in some mud? Well, I want to tell you something about your spirit. You've been sealed with the Spirit. It's vacuum packed. And so even if mud got on this, I can't tell you what kind of mud I want to use, but I'm just telling you, even the worst kind of mud, this is clean on the inside.
Amen.
It's been washed by the blood of Jesus. You're forgiven. You're sealed. You catch this, it may make you shout. He has sealed your spirit with His Spirit. And you're protected from that junk. Now I want to tell you something. Okay? This picture of grace and love of the Lord does not make you want to go sin. That there's people that try to abuse this and say, well, if that's true, then sin don't matter. Sin does matter.
Amen. Yes, it does.
I'll get into this next week, but I want to tell you something. When you sin, according to the Scripture, when you sin, you allow the enemy to dominate. If you yield to the Spirit, it dominates. You yield to the flesh, you allow the enemy to dominate. Is there anyone here that wants the enemy to have an open door to your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, or your body? That's what sin does. Now, the beautiful thing about the Christian, Jesus in here, you're sealed with the Spirit, that picture is not the last result. This is why I think why I've had a ministry to pastors and leadership is the fact that I remind them that your spirit is sealed. That junk is temporary. Let's agree with what Jesus is and what Jesus says you are in the Spirit, and let's practice the cleansing that's there, the life that's there to flow in your soul, to your body. Let's be free. Because He paid the price for you to be free. Hey, I tell them, your ministry's not over. Okay? Now, is there repercussions of sin? Well, yeah. Okay? But I want to tell you something. Here's our hope. You see, this is true. The Holy Spirit gives you hope, because He gives us the power of restoration. He renews. His power source is within us. And I want to tell you, if you hit a stump, don't let it be a bump forever. It doesn't have to be, because of who Jesus is in you and who you are in Christ. Okay? I'm going to say it, because this is what I say to pastors, and it may be too much for you. But I say this. You know what? When you sin, that's not the real you. Yeah, I thought that might be a little much. Thank you, Pastor, for saying, yeah. Because this is temporary. This is a mess. In the process of being renewed and restored, your soul is. In your spirit is the real you.
Amen.
That's the real you. That's the real Jesus you right there. Okay? And that's what we're growing into in our soul. Don't you love it? Isn't that great about the Lord? I want you to stand. I've kind of taken a few minutes too many. But this is where I'm headed next week. And I think that you practice meditating on the Scripture we covered, on the Scripture we didn't get to, that it'll help you even next week to grasp where we're headed with this. And in just about 2 weeks, I'm going to try to draw these pictures together for you. And it could be a real liberating day, especially if you seek the Lord about this now. Because the mechanics of it, if you just look at the mechanics of it, you can miss. You know what brings it together is love. I'm telling you, you love the Lord, you let Him love on you. And I want to tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that brings this to you with your name on it. It makes it personal. Tim Hall doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it's not teaching by any man, it's the Spirit that teaches us. And so He will reveal this to you because He wants you to grow in all that He has for you. And we want that, don't we? I love you for that. And we're going to take just a moment. I'll tell you what, if you need to go, you can go. It's not going to offend anybody. You can just ease on out quietly, kind of go out the doors before you start talking or whatever. But if you don't have to go, just stay. We're going to take a few minutes to pray for people. If you don't need prayer or you don't want to be a part of that, you can leave. But I'm telling you, we're going to take a few moments just to pray with people because a lot of times this kind of awakens a hunger and a desire for the more that the Lord has already paid for. And it's important for us to agree with you about that. The power of agreement is amazing. I think you see that. But it's our joy to pray for you. So those that help us pray, why don't you come on down? And as soon as I get through praying, if you need to leave, you can leave, okay? Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you cause your promises to be ever true in our life. Thank you, Lord, that what you begin in us, you will finish. We give you praise, Lord. You're our hope. You're our life. Lord, thank you that it's by your grace and by your mercy. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that your word will become a spark plug of faith in us to grasp hold and receive what you paid for in us. And Lord, we just give you praise and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And all the people said,